The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Waterski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings and welcome to another edition of the TWBC Podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and this is a very, very special episode indeed. Because as we continue to focus a little bit more upon the athletes that constitute the very best in overall water skiing, I have two of the greatest. Both of them from Latin America, one Chilean, one Argentine. You know, so a little bit of chalk and cheese, a little bit of a conflict between the two. But I have a former world overall champion from 2009, Javier Julio. Say hi to the good folks.
Hey, how are you all?
Not too bad. And I have two-time world champion from 2013 and 2017, Felipe Miranda from Chile. How are you doing?
Hey, Tony. Everything good.
All right. So, first off, I'm going to come to you, Felipe, because you've been the focus of some recent happenings and recent news from the Masters, where unfortunately you came up short and crashed a little bit, or actually a whole lot if we ever saw the pictures. But how are you feeling right now, and what's the prognosis for the remaining of the season to come?
Hey, Tony. Yeah, it was something that I was not expecting at all. I felt good. I felt really, really good going into the Masters and well prepared. And it happened, those kind of things, that unexpected things, that I just touched the ramp and I felt it was going to be our right jump. And suddenly, while I'm going off and taking off the ramp, I don't feel anything exactly what happened. But as soon as I'm going down to land, my rope was stuck on the ski. So it was pulling it. So I was trying to get it out of it. I was trying to get that rope out of it so I can land safely in two skis and ride it away. But that thing never happened to me. It never happened. I never seen it happen. Then I heard some people happen before, but it was the first time that I had that feeling, and actually it's not a good feeling at all. Because you can't do anything. Either let go, which I've been told since I was young, never let go until you turn or whatever. And then I was unlucky that happened, and then it landed, and I really felt that my whole leg, I destroyed my leg, my knee, and my hip. On that side, I was unlucky, but talking to you right now after a couple of days, I can say I was very, very, very lucky, and I'm really thankful that I can be walking. I have no major injuries. I'm looking ahead this season to be back in the water as soon as possible. As soon as I get it checked, right when I go home, I'm going to go home next week probably and check it out with my doctors and start the season again. I mean, it's not over. It's just a couple of weeks off, and I'll be stronger, hopefully, than ever.
Okay, we'll explore the prognosis for the remainder of the season. Obviously, you'll be skiing to hopefully retake the world overall championship again coming up. Obviously, Martin Coleman, who we interviewed earlier in the season, is the current world overall champion, but we'll talk about that a little bit. But let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we? I mean, back in the days of the world championships being in Calgary with like a large spectator crowd and everything, and here is this dynamo skier from Argentina who could slalom into 39 and a half off, trick over 10, and you were on the bank just hoping and praying that a certain Canadian overall skier didn't jump over a certain distance in order for you to gain that world title. I mean, kind of take us through that picture again.
Yeah, what a moment. It was a long time ago, which is bad. I remember I made the cut in, that was a crazy jump event, a lot of crashes, a lot of people crashing. Pipe was one. The jump event was always my weakest event of the overall. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I made the cut in the jump event at the Worlds. So I was in the finals there, and not only Jared was there, I mean, Adam Settlemyer, he was coming, he was skiing amazing. And the crazy thing about it is that I needed to jump 63 meters point one, which is 206, 20 something.
Something like that.
And Jared needed to jump 69 point something, kind of like 230. And I went out there and I did a really bad jump, like crash on the jump, I don't know, 180. Second jump was like, I don't know, 185. Uh-huh. And I remember pulling out to the 600, going around the island, pulling out, and like literally, I closed my eyes at the 600 buoy and I go, it is what it is.
Okay. And Viacom Diaz.
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously. And I remember it was the only time in my life that I closed my eyes before the jump. I did. And I jumped 63.1 meters. Exactly. That's what I jumped. So it was like, wow. And then I was there, and my wife was there, my kid, I had only one kid by the time, and my friends were there, and okay, and Jared was next. And here he comes, first jump, massive, like...
He needed 70 meters at that point.
I think he needed 70 meters, which was 230 or 230 something, right? Yeah. And his first jump was like 228. Second jump wasn't great, and then here he comes for the third one, and I was... with all my jumpsuit on and facing down the jump. And I saw him came in like that, yeah, out of the jump, and he's like, whoa, I won. Huh. And it's like, and I've been waiting for that moment for a long time. Like, I mean, my first medal in overall was Recheto 2001. And since then, I was always in the podium, except in 2007, that I didn't have a good tournament. And so I was there. I was always close, and that was the day. So definitely like the moment of my career.
Very, very special moment. And I was actually there at the time announcing for that event. And also I was there for Felipe's World Championship triumph in 2013 on your home site in Laguna Los Moros, outside Santiago de Chile. And much like Javier Julio, obviously the circumstances with you winning your world overall title weren't nearly as dramatic as Javier's, but kind of give us a little bit of a summation of how that came about for you.
Well, starting to get into the Worlds, like before the Worlds, like actually we talked with Javi a couple of days ago, I always felt behind everybody, like in the paper. On score-wise, I was behind Javi, I was behind Martin, I was behind Adam, I was behind, who else was there? Well, those three at least. And I always knew I needed to do either 100% to fight against them, or I didn't have a chance. And I started the event with slalom, which was at my home side. I knew I could run some good buoys. And I started with a 1.5 of 39, which in my case, I'm like, okay, this is not starting right.
Okay.
And for some reason, these guys didn't make the cut, which the only, and T-Ball.
I forgot about T-Ball as well.
But T-Ball did make the cut.
Yes,
and then,
I remember that.
Then we go for tricking, which... I knew I cannot miss any trick because my run is lower than their runs. Mm-hmm. And for me to be able to improve or at least get to reach the top, I know I couldn't miss any trick. And actually, that's what I did. I went out and did 1995, which put me right on, I think it was 10 points or 20 points on top of Javi, which that puts him out of the finals. But, and Sledge qualify and Thibaut qualify.
We should just look at Javier's face right now.
Yeah. Well, he was at that world. He was 13-13-13, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I missed.
He missed every single final by one.
Yeah, and I was waiting for the final results for overall onshore. But I mean, yeah, like Pepe said, that was I was still skiing. I was still in. I was still like skiing hard, but it wasn't my goal. I wasn't already like I was in 2009. I was already thinking about retiring, and skiing was getting hard for me. So I ended up taking second behind him. And I remember when I congratulate Pepe, it's like this second for me is like winning. It's like, you know what I mean. So I was actually happy for him that he got it, and he did ski well. He continues now. He did ski amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so go beyond tricks.
Beyond tricks, and then I did pretty much not my PB, but pretty damn close for being a world championship. It's always tough. The judges are tougher, so I knew I needed to do everything right, and I got through it. I went 95, made a cut, and then I went into jump, which is my main event, which I feel comfortable. I jumped a 65.8. I knew I was in the finals. With that, I had Thibaut. That actually was before me. He needed to jump 62 meters, which is he never done it before, or he did it once in a while, but he went on cut and crash.
Yeah.
So that opened the door completely, except Adam, that he was in a trick final. He needed a trick 11.4, if I'm not wrong. I think he never did it, but you knew Adam can throw whatever in tricks. He can he can put up a big run. But I knew I had some gap to improve in tricks also in the final, so I went out and I tricked 98.90, which I improved for like 450 points, and that pushed Adam to trick 11.8, and that was over at that time.
Yeah, indeed.
But I had always that feeling that, you know, I have won all the world titles at my side. And it was something that, it felt special. It was a dream come true.
Because you'd won junior worlds before then.
Yeah, I won junior worlds there, and T1 worlds, university worlds, and open worlds. But it felt great. But it was something missing. Something that I needed to do out of Chile.
Yes.
And that's when 2017 came.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to prove to basically everyone else that your success isn't purely contained within the confines of Laguna Los Moros, but you can actually, I can do this elsewhere as well. Watch me.
More than to the people, it was for myself also. Probably people talk about it, but it was myself that I could prove it and prove to myself that I can ski well everywhere. And that's when it came to 2017, that was from start to the end. I'd never felt so ready for a tournament, and also I never felt myself so behind again to my competitors, but I knew it was a rough side. I knew I was a strong competitor in rough condition, and man, that tournament was, there's so many memories that I have. I feel the 2017 Worlds for me is huge, like compared to Chile, it's both our Worlds. But that one, it was just something special.
Okay, we'll touch upon that a little bit more in a moment. But let's do a little bit of an exploration as to how much water skiing or tournament water skiing is kind of recognized in Latin America by those who are in the grips of power, you know, the politicians, that kind of stuff, you know. So I know that you, Javier, won in 2009. Was there much written about you in the press in Argentina, in Buenos Aires at that time after you've done it? Were you like welcomed at the airport with confetti and stuff like that?
Not that much, but yeah, it made a big difference for more than for me. It made a difference for the country and the Argentinian Federation and the water ski itself down there. It helped a lot. It was like before and after. But more than worlds, to be honest, what helped a lot was for us, for the Pan Am region, Pan Am Games is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Pan Am Games is super big. Talking about founding and and a lot of stuff is bigger than words. So let me tell you, when I won afterwards, 2011, I won two golds in Mexico at the Pan Am Games, in overall and tricks.
In Guadalajara.
And I was on the front of the news in Argentina. I'm not lying. I mean, the president and a picture of me tricking. It was insane. Thanks to that tournament, the federation got more money. They bought a boat. I mean, it was big. But you know, one thing goes after the other, right? It's not like one thing and then you get all that. There's a history coming.
Yeah.
But it was worse, and then Pan Am Games, so it's big. And I know the same in Chile, in Peru. Like, there's good founding in... It's weird because it's like in some third world countries like Argentina, we have good founding on water skiing, which is a small sport, you know?
Yeah. Third world country?
Maybe fourth. I don't know, it's my country though. But it's that, well, that's the real thing.
Okay, and obviously going on to the Pan American Games, you know, because you, Felipe, have won titles there, not in just Peru, but also Toronto a few years before, is that correct?
Yes, I did win my only gold medal. It was in Toronto. The overall against competing like Jared and Javi. And yeah, it's another special moment, because Pan Am Games, like Javi said, for the government, for the country, is just unbelievable. Like the amount of press, the amount of attention that you get, and then what you build as a country, as an athlete, as a sport, going to the Pan Am Games and doing good is just, it's never, that's something that worlds won't do.
It's a game changer.
It's a game changer. So as soon as like I remember my first medal, it was in 2007. Since then, I've been medal every single Pan Am Games. And because of that, right now, I'm the athlete with more medals in the country of Pan Am Games.
Okay, so you've totaled more medals for Chile in the Pan American Games than any other athlete. Athlete that's completed.
And because of that also, I had the honor to be a flag bearer on 2009 in Peru. And that is crazy. That was like, starting from the start, like the president of the country giving you the flag to go to the tournament.
Sebastian Piñera?
Piñera, yeah.
Did you get anything from Michelle Bachelet?
Whenever I won Worlds, the first time, Sebastian Piñera received me in the White House of Chile.
Okay.
And we had a little meeting, a little breakfast with him and with the ministers also. And that, again, that's something. But on 2013, we got a lot of press. Like, I was all over the news. I was front page in pretty much all the newspapers, and on Toronto also. Again, like Javi said, all these Pan Am Games change the way of the government see our sport. Now all the fundings that we're getting, and not even we get it, I'm saying all what our group of kids coming up are getting I don't want to put it because of us, but we opened a door with some other skiers for them to be easier the road to get where we got with Javi.
Okay, let's talk about kids. You both have families now that you have to support and have to, you know, get paid, get, you know, feed them and everything. And I'll go to you, Javier, first, because you are So how many kids you got now?
You got two boys. 13 and 11 years old.
Oh wow. Okay. So are they encouraged into skiing, or is it something they want to pursue, or
they did ski before they walk, pretty much both of them, but they are not into it. They don't. It's weird. It's like I didn't push. My wife and me, we decided not to push. If they wanted to ski, I'd be there for them. But they go to the lake with me. They love being in the boat, in the water. But behind the boat, no. So I think they're gonna do their own thing, and I'll be there for them.
All right, then. And Felipe, it's basically the same question, because not only do you have your own kids, but you have nephews and nieces, don't you, that are involved in a little bit in the sport?
I have the same way that Javi and his wife think. My wife and I both think that we can't push our kids. We cannot push them to be a water skier. They do ski, like, again, they're I have three kids, two twins of 3 years old and an older one of six. And they all ski. My older one skiing one, but they're not skiing much. They just ski whenever I go to a lake. They love the lake. And the three-year-old, they haven't, maybe they'll like it. But the other one, it seems like he likes all the sports. And my nephew loves it. My two nephews, like, they're into it. And I really hope one of them out of the 12. Out of the 12 cousins and my kids go into skiing. We already have two. So hopefully get a little more, but more than anything, I want them to have fun, enjoy life. I think we cannot push anything if they don't like it. And if they like something else, I'll be there, and I'll be there to help them as much as if they decide to water ski.
Obviously, there's a huge rivalry between Chile and Argentina where it comes to sports. You know, you can look back at the Copa de Libertadores and in football, soccer, for those of you that are watching, that are listening and that are Americans, and various other sports. Is there as much of a rivalry in tournament water skiing between Argentina, first of all, and Chile?
I think there is more rivalry, but I think there's more passion into it. Like, we, as South Americans, I say we're really passionate of what we do, and we're really into of, and even even a record tournament, we take it as a big tournament because we're passionate about it. I'm not saying the other countries are not, don't take me wrong. But yes,
you could say so.
Because it's not like that, but I do think we take it really, really, really personal, and we take it really, really passionate about everything we do. And yes, out of that, obviously you always want the best, and but always in a good lead.
Okay, and Javier, you got something to say about that?
No, I agree 100%. It's passion. We always go full throttle, whatever it is. And the Mirandas and the Julios, we know each other for ages. Of course, we have our weird, crazy days, but life goes on, and here we are again, skiing together. We actually ski together, traveling together, coaching kids together. So that's the good part about the sport. That's the good part about water skiing. I mean, at the end of the day, we might have our differences, but life goes on. We need to be smart about it. And water skiing is a big family, and we gotta keep going.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're going to round off the podcast there. But before we go, any last words that either of you want to say to your fans, to your family, and to those who have made a difference in your skiing careers?
Well, there's a lot of people that changed my life in water skiing. But I think I'm just going to go on Javi's words. Like, water skiing is a family sport, and water ski teach you for life. It teach you many things that even like school or something else. This is it's a life experience that it will prepare you, I think, for anything that you'll have ahead of you after you decide to not ski anymore as a professional. And yeah, well, obviously I'd like to thank my dads, my family, my coaches that's been around, and people that, friends, and all the water ski community, because without it, all of them, we couldn't be here. So I would just like to thank everybody, and I would like to thank my wife for my last few years. I know it's hard to be away. I mean, I haven't seen them for 2 months now. I haven't seen my kids. It's a tough one to not be with them, but this is what I do. This is my job. I coach kids. I ski, and I mean, I love what I do. And yes, I'm just going to keep going as much as I can. And I'm lucky enough to have a wife that supports me that well.
Javier, I'm sure you want to echo the same sentiments, but your own words.
I do agree with Pipe what he said about water skiing, like an education. I don't know if it's water skiing, though. sorry, it could be, but definitely it's a sport. I mean, sports is an education. It gives you conduct, be responsible, be committed. So I do agree with that, I gotta tell. And then, yeah, let me thank, of course, my parents, my mom and dad, that they were the one who started me until the last day, and they are still there. Of course, my wife and my kids. My wife, I mean, like people said, the traveling around the world. Like my wife, when I won Worlds, mm-hmm. 2009, Joaquin, the one that is 13 now, he was almost two, and my wife was pregnant like that of my second one. So it was crazy. So and then yeah, all the community, the World Ski community, friends, all our Latinos friends and skiers around the world. And let me do a special thanks to the Picos family, because that's the place where I live for more than 20 years, and that family opened the doors of their house to me. And Corey was my coach for years and years, and we skied together. And the truth is, without that family, I don't know if I could be sitting down this day here. So that was huge, and thanks to them.
All right, then, you've been listening to Javier Julio and Felipe Miranda for this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. My name's Tony Lightfoot, and be sure to tune in again to another podcast. But for me, for Javier and Felipe, it is going to be ciao for now.
I wasn't expecting that one.
Ciao
for now.
Our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.